Government intends to make organic eggs safe by preventing free-range chickens from ranging free. This directive leads us to ask, for whom does government wish to make eggs safe? Consumers, organic farmers, or concentrated animal feeding operations?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 932nd edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Happy to have you aboard today. We have with us today Aaron Stone, who was our producer. Aaron, good morning.
Sure, that's okay.
Hey, wait a minute. Listen, who do you think government is making eggs safe for?
Well, certainly not for us.
Okay, good. There you go. We have an answer. Oh, studio audience today. We have with us Sharon Richardson, my sister from the Big Sky Country of Montana, is out for a visit. Hello.
Good morning.
There you go. Well, folks, big question on the table today. The Food Safety Modernization Act, passed in by Congress in the waning seconds of 2010, gave government absolute control of the nation's food supply. Federal government, it owns it now. Today, the Food and Drug Administration, together with the United States Department of Agriculture, are proposing to make organic eggs safe by preventing organic chickens from ranging free outdoors. Government's proposed new rules for organic eggs include minimizing, if not eliminating, contact between chickens and wild birds by using, among other things, explosive noise cannons, and by restricting the free ranging of chickens to screened-in confinement facilities. To comply with these new government directives, organic egg producers will have to implement extensive measures that will make organic eggs much more expensive for consumers to buy. Thus, today we pause to ask, are organic eggs not safe? How will preventing chickens from ranging free make eggs safer? And finally, for whom will government make eggs safe? For consumers? For organic farmers? For concentrated animal feeding operations? Well, here to help us find some answers, we have some really interesting folks. First, we'll start with Stephanie and Christian Alexandre, who are the proprietors of Eco Dairy Farm Farms up in Eureka, California. Stephanie, we'll start with you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to have you aboard. Would you tell us a little bit about Eco Dairy Farm there?
Well, we're primarily a dairy farm. We produce for Organic Valley, but we also have organic eggs from pastured poultry. We have some grass-fed beef and some pastured pork, and in our area, we're on the north coast, right in a pasture basin next to the redwoods, a mile from the ocean. So we just have a perfect ecosystem to have a lot of different variety of animals around us.
Good. And your son Christian is part of it. He's the one who's starting the poultry operation, correct?
Yes. So I'm 21 years old now, and my brother, who's a year older, him and I started the chickens about 8 or 9 years ago in middle school, and it was just a project and became a business within a couple of years, and it's flourishing.
Christian, when you say pastured, you know, for those of us who live in the city, what the heck does pastured mean?
Yeah, so for chickens, there's four different ranges of the ways you can raise chickens. There's the caged version, which is 90 or 95% of chickens nationwide, caged birds. Then there's cage free, which means they're in an open building, but they're all in a building that's closed, I guess. And then there's free range, which means they have quote unquote access to the outdoors. And then there's pastured, and that pastured is the most extreme, that where they're on the grass, there's no doors. I mean, we do have mobile houses where the chickens lay the eggs and where they'll go get their supplemental feed, but they're outside eating grass every day.
Well, that's a really radical concept, that chickens would be outside.
Yeah.
Just the way it's always been.
Well, and I've had the opportunity to witness pastured chickens and pastured beef and whatnot. Joel Salatin's place in the Shenandoah River Valley of Virginia. And by golly, they look like healthy chickens, but it really depends on the environment too, does it not?
Yes, it does. Just we're ideally situated because of our weather. We don't have extreme colds, and we don't get warmer than 75 degrees here on the coast. So it definitely depends on your environment to where your chickens can flourish.
And also with us today, we have Mark Castell from the Cornucopia Institute. Mark, do I have you there?
You do, Michael. Good morning.
Welcome back. Tell the folks a little bit about the Cornucopia Institute.
Well, we're a farm policy research group. We're based in Cornucopia, Wisconsin. We're a national organization that acts as an organic industry watchdog. So our mandate, much like the Congress gave to the USDA, and unfortunately it's not working out so well, our mandate is to protect the interests of ethical participants in this industry, like Stephanie and Kristen. And also the interests of other important stakeholders, no one more important than the consumer who's willing to pay a premium for agricultural products created with a different kind of ethic. So in this case, we're talking about a different kind of, for organics, and a different kind of environmental model, a different animal husbandry, more humane husbandry philosophy, and the fact that family-scale farmers, like we're talking to today, are supposed to get a decent living out of this deal. We're not supposed to be handing our money over to corporate agribusiness. This is supposed to be the alternative.
Well, Mark, I've come to think of you folks at Cornucopia as kind of like vigilantes, because you always seem to be running around pissing people off. And I'm wondering who you make more angry, the folks in the established organic industry, the folks in government. You always seem to be watching out for what's right. And you always seem to be going up against one side or another. It seems like both sides need a lot of supervision in this whole thing. Is it not true?
Well, we're governmental and corporate watchdogs, Mike. I'll paraphrase one of our farmers that we work with in Pennsylvania, a Mennonite gentleman, Roman Stausfuss, who, when we were attacked in an Associated Press story after we exposed improper organic labeling by a little grocery proprietor called Walmart, and we were kind of proud to be attacked, I guess, in this case, but his philosophy was, quote, burglars don't like watchdogs. So if you hear people complaining about our work, you have to ask, what is it about organic integrity that challenges them, that either challenges their business model or sadly, there are some other NGOs that have been critical of us that receive some of their funding from the same corporate agribusinesses that we are watchdogging.
Mm-hmm. I guess that means,
you know,
Mark,
their message to Cornucopia, Michael, is sit down, shut up, and clap louder. This is organics.
Yeah, and I guess that would indicate to me, at least, that you're not getting funded by those corporations that you're watching over, then, are you?
There are a number of people that, in fact, in one case, a very prominent company once offered us money, and we just can't take that. We get, unlike many policy groups, think tanks, or groups of our policy research groups of our nature, that might get almost 100% of its funding from foundations. There's a certain level of accountability, obviously. We get 45%, the largest amount of our funding, comes from individual members, mostly farmers, but many of our urban allies, some very sophisticated consumers. And the rest is split between nonprofit foundations and the industry. So there are some very ethical players, even some that are larger, that see that their livelihood depends on the integrity of this label. You know, none of us, all of us will lose, large and small. If there's a story on 60 Minutes saying, hey, this stuff isn't legitimate. So we all have an interest.
There you go. Well, folks, government seems to believe organic eggs are not safe and so must implement extensive new measures to protect. But who is government really out to protect here? That's the question we have on the table today. And you're invited to participate with your phone calls. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Are organic eggs not safe? How will preventing chickens from ranging free make eggs safer? And hey, for whom do you think government will make eggs safe? For consumers? For organic farmers? For concentrated animal feeding operations? We have Stephanie and Christian Alexander, Mark Castle, and your host, Michael Olson. This is The Food Chain. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, Stephanie and Christian Alexandre's chickens roam free in the pastures of Eureka, California. Rich, green, luscious, rain-fed grasses. Those chickens are eating those grasses. They're eating bugs. They're eating seeds. They're eating real life, I guess. Government seems to think those chickens are dangerous and maybe even lethal or something because they want them off the pasture and into a confinement facility where they will not have any interaction with natural life like birds and bees and things like that. So, Christian, let's start with you. Are your chickens really that dangerous?
Oh, they're deadly. Yeah, watch out for them. Not at all. No, they're completely in their natural environment. I mean, and here we're actually in Crescent City, 90 miles north of Eureka, and I say that because if you check our annual rainfall here, it's about 80 to 100 inches of rain, double that of Humboldt County in Eureka, and so. So that weather we have, that it's just excellent grass-growing weather. I mean, it's a Costa Rica-style, not quite the humidity they have there, but we have the ideal weather for growing grass. And then all summer, we still end up with 5 or 6 months of irrigated time where we irrigate all the pasture so that those chickens do have the grass to eat.
Well, let me ask you this. Mark, what makes these chickens so dangerous?
Well, nothing makes those chickens dangerous. I've been on that farm. In fact, if your listeners want to take a look at what they're doing, and it's beautiful, they can go to our website, www.cornucopia.org, and click on the photo gallery and see the egg producers. But they'll also see some, quote, organic egg facilities, I won't call them farms, with 100,000 birds per farm. Well, I'm sorry, per building. That's where the dangers come from. We met with the FDA in Washington to try to present them with some objective research. We did a literature search of all the public research on salmonella. And this rule came out of, I don't know if you remember, Michael, but there was a very serious national outbreak that emanated from Iowa,
right?
Just a few years ago, I think 2010, and people got sick. I'm not sure if people died in that incident or not. I can't recall. But what they found were filthy conditions, and so we presented literature the common denominator to salmonella contamination is not outdoor access. It's not proximity to other wildlife. The factors that we identified in the research was, A, the size of the facility. Just the largest facilities alone were more dangerous. The age of their buildings, because most of this salmonella comes from flies that are around piles of manure, and there's just copious amounts of manure on these CAFOs, and from rodents. And what they found in Iowa was that these buildings were rodent-infested. The newer buildings, the newer giant factory farms, if you will, they have concrete at the ground level. They're building design features in that to try to preclude the rodent infestation. So the size, the age of the facility, caged production, so just the opposite of our eco-farm guests, cages tend to breed health problems. These birds are in confinement, not as healthy as the pastured birds.
And these are organic birds you're talking about?
Well, the research would pertain to all birds,
mm-hmm.
and most of the research that shows that outdoor, or much of it, that outdoors is safe comes from Europe, where the regulators are much more persnickety than our USDA in making sure the birds are outside. That one last factor, Michael, is forced molting. In order to get older birds to produce eggs, they close them inside these buildings. They turn all the lights off for a period of time, and they starve the birds. So they go into kind of a shock mode, and then they go back into production. That's another practice. Cages are banned in organic production. Large CAFOs should be banned, but the USDA is not enforcing that law. And forced molting is banned in organic production.
And so, well, Christian, how is it that government came to put you in its crosshairs here? I mean, you're the one that government is aiming at to confine your chickens. How did that come to pass?
Oh, I don't know if it's really government or if it's I don't know.
I know we got a call from the FDA and they had planned to visit us because they were told to come see us and make sure if they come out with a rule that we're going to be safe, because anybody who comes to our farm knows that we have the healthiest chickens around and the best possible environment. And they called and they looked at flights and everything, and we are kind of remote, and then decided to pull away. So I'm worried that they really didn't see a farm like ours that would be affected if these rules were implemented.
Yeah, and we do have protocols in place already of the state vet coming out and swabbing all our chicken coops and where the chickens roost at night, and swabbing for salmonella, and we've come back with good news every time. And
well, and yet somehow you're in the target. Mark, how does it come to pass that chickens roaming free in pastures of green grass become a target of government regulators? What's going on there? I don't understand it. I'm looking for help here.
I'd say, Michael, I smell a rat, and that's because the really doesn't matter if the Democrats or Republicans are in charge in the White House. These regulatory agencies are influenced greatly by corporate lobbyists. There's this revolving door, if you will. So we have people in the industry working for the FDA and USDA. We have people who have careers at these regulatory agencies who retire early and then go to work for the corporations. And so this is a really friendly rule. By the way, there's nothing in the rule that bans outdoor production, but it does two things for organics. One, it makes it very difficult to let your birds outside. And up on their farm in Crescent City, they have many, many acres of nice grass where they're moving these mobile coops around. The USDA wants them to isolate the birds. They said, well, you don't have to keep your birds inside. But if there are wild birds out there, you might have to put netting over your fields. That's really physically impossible.
So like 200 acres of nets, right?
Right, exactly. Or you might have to keep other wildlife out. The barbed wired fences that they have a dairy farm there to keep your cattle, and those aren't good enough fences. You have to put in very fine mesh fence, very tall, and you have recommended to dig it under the surface of the ground so animals can't burrow in. They want to create the sterile environment on a field the same way you would in a building. But here's the kicker. So they don't say you can't put your birds outside. But then what they're telling, and this is our real beef with the USDA, not the FDA, the organic standards are clear. Organic livestock must be outdoors, and ruminants like dairy cows must be grazing on grass. And so they have allowed these giant structures with 30 to 100,000 birds to fulfill the, quote, outdoor access by having a little teeny screen porch off on the side of this industrial building. Maybe, you know, Michael, if you thought that screen porch with a floor, either concrete or wood floor, and a ceiling and screened walls, if you thought that was the outdoors, and I'll argue with you, but what I would argue is that if it only holds 1 or 2% of the birds in that structure, 98% of the birds have no legal access to the outdoors. And so they're allowing these corporations to compete with honest, ethical family farmers and steal the market, and for consumers to buy those eggs, thinking that they're doing something humane for the chickens, something ethical in terms of the way they're treating economically the farmers involved, and environmentally. They think they're doing good by buying organics, and they're really on the same factory farm bandwagon.
There you go. Right, Beth, we have to take a quick break. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, folks, if there were an egg that I would like to eat, it would probably be an egg from the Eco Dairy Farms up in Crescent City, Eureka area of Northern California. Chickens roaming free on green pastures, eating green grass, eating bugs, eating seeds, and enjoying life. Sounds like a pretty good egg to me, but government doesn't seem to think so. Government wants to enforce these new restrictions on the egg producers that have pastured poultry, free-ranging poultry. Stop ranging free chickens. You can't do that. You're going to make us all sick if you do. So you must be confined within these, like, giant factories. I guess that's what they're shooting for. Christian, do your eggs make people sick?
Absolutely not. No, we get reports daily via the internet or our Facebook page for our chickens, our eggs, that they're just, people love the taste. They love the nutrition. You can see in the darker yolk, which comes from the pasture, and they just feel like, they'll often say, I was raised on a farm when I was younger, and this tastes like a farm egg, or this tastes like fresh egg, and it tastes better. It makes me feel healthier. It in every way, there's just positive reports.
You know, a healthy aspect of the eggs that people don't talk about. Years ago, I learned that if you have a sick calf on the dairy farm, you feed them a raw egg. Well, it was when we were learning about organics that we learned that the chickens peck around at the bacteria on the farm, and they create the antibodies in the egg, and you feed that raw egg to your sick calf, and that calf gets that antibody, that protection. And because our chickens are pecking, you know, in the pastures and exposed to the environment in a healthy way, I think there's even more protective aspects to our eggs that aren't even talked about or discussed.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, the government doesn't seem to think that being healthy is healthy, or at least that seems to be the contention being made here by me. Mark Castle, what does government want these folks to do? They want them to, I don't understand it at all. What is government trying to do here?
Well, you know, for our federal government, the FDA, and you mentioned the Food Safety Modernization Act, that's a different law. This is the, quote, salmonella rule. Oh. I want to tell your listeners that if they're concerned about keeping these fine egg producers in business and having access to the best eggs, if they're concerned about having truly organic fresh fruits and vegetables without onerous regulation that could put some of our best farmers out of business. There are, both of these are open for public comment. If they go to the Cornucopia website, cornucopia.org, within 2 weeks we're going to have a briefing paper, an action alert, telling people how they can put their voices, lend their voices on behalf of integrity and organics and defending our farmer heroes. And so we really hope that they'll get involved to protect the ability to produce this kind of food. So they want to sterilize our farms, Michael, and we know that a healthy, diverse ecosystem, as Stephanie was saying, produces food that inherently is healthier, whether it's antibodies, whether it's higher omega-3 fatty acids, other antioxidants, chlorophyll in the eggs because they're eating fresh food. And but really, this is a protection act for giant factory farms. They need to put these measures into effect on these giant CAFOs because their eggs really are contaminated and dangerous in all too many cases. But we don't need to do that on truly ecological safe farms. You can hear they're already doing testing, and the testing is coming out negative.
Mm-hmm. So, it, you know, we've heard it said that government operates under this principle of never letting a serious crisis go to waste.
And yeah, well, in this case, it's a solution looking for a problem on the scale of farms we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The big farms, there is a documented risk. There's plenty of published peer-reviewed science that shows that the eggs on these farms are dangerous. There's plenty of published science, again, a lot of it out of Europe, that shows the eggs on truly ecologically managed organic farms that the birds outside are safe. But that's not the story that the big industry people want to hear. They want to hear that everybody has to come up with the same standards. And we've seen this over and over again. We've been in court at Cornucopia for a number of years against the USDA and the Almond Board of California because they are mandating, quote, pasteurization, heating by steam or treating with propylene oxide, a toxic fumigant, quote, raw almonds. They're going to treat these and still label them as raw. And why? Because Paramount Farms in California, the largest nut producer in the world, couldn't keep their nuts clean. So we're going to have smaller, in the Central Valley, we're going to have smaller organic producers with a few dozen acres having to also treat their nuts with steam heat or propylene oxide. That's just wrong, and it's regulations that favor corporate agribusiness.
So, and as you mentioned, we see these rules being promulgated across a broad spectrum of agricultural commodities. It doesn't seem to matter what. We have trouble keeping industrial-scale things clean, and so we establish rules to try to protect consumers, but those rules really have no functionality with respect to people like Stephanie and Christian up there in Northern California who have chickens roaming free in this pristine environment. And so we have two different worlds of agriculture, and yet the rules we make for one really are, in effect, rules that can almost eliminate the other.
Well, the biggest danger on the horizon, and they've been pushing this for years, is irradiation. That because of these giant CAFOs, so we'll talk about beef for a second, because they can't, first of all, because the cattle are inherently sick, they feed them high amounts of grain in feedlots. It changes the pH in the rumen in the multiple stomachs because these cattle were designed to eat grass by God, not grain. And so the cattle are sick. Then they put them into high-speed production plants. They slaughter them, and there's manure on the food. And so how do you cure that? Well, one is you change the feeding regime so it's more natural and healthy for the animal. And then you do a very careful job of processing so you don't have excrement on the food. But the industrial fix is that we're just going to cook it all with radiation first. Unfortunately, it destroys the nutrient value of our food and creates novel compounds, free radicals, carcinogenic chemicals like benzene in our food, but it also makes it safe. You won't get sick from it directly, but eating a diet like that for a lifetime could rob you of your vitality and who knows what other chronic diseases.
Well, my notion about the irradiation of food is very simple. Irradiation makes fecal matter safe to eat. And that's
Michael.
And that's why they want to do it, I guess. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson here, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. We're asking the big question today: for whom is government? Does government wish to make eggs safe? What do you think? Pick up your phone and join us today. 800-624-2665 and 831-479-1080. Love to hear what you have to say.
You want healthy food? We are helping you get it. Hello, I'm Maureen Wilmot, Executive Director of the Organic Farming Research Foundation. Our mission at OFRF is to foster the widespread adoption and improvement of the organic farming systems so we can all eat clean, healthy food. Meet some of the people who are putting organic food on your table.
I'm Mary Fund, an organic certified farmer in Northeast Kansas. OFRF has had a presence in Washington, D.C., and has advocated for policy and programs that benefit organic farmers.
OFRF funds organic research for farmers, builds communities of support for organic farming, and advocates for organic farming policies in Washington, D.C. Help organic farmers. Buy organic food. Join the OFRF community. Contribute to organic farming research. Visit OFRF.org. Remember, when an organic farmer succeeds, we all thrive.
Well, folks, sometimes I am asked to speak in front of school kids about food. And being the host of the Food Chain Radio program, I guess that's why they asked me. And so the way I do it is that I bring in two eggs. And one egg comes from my connection at the farmer's market, and the other egg I buy at the supermarket. And I hold these two eggs up in front of these children, and I say, "Chill, kids, can you tell me the difference between these eggs?" And they look at me blankly, because an egg is an egg, right? They look the same. But then what I do is I describe how these eggs were grown and processed. And the chickens and the difference between the chickens and the farmers. And so we look at these eggs, and then I have them crack open the eggs, and we put them in a saucer so that they can actually look at them and they can feel the thickness of the shell. And every single kid in the class can tell the difference between those eggs, because the pastured poultry egg is beautiful, dark, rich, golden. It stands up firm. And those kids look at the difference between that egg and the pale, flat other egg, and they can see what's in their eggs then, and then they know there's a difference. And so today we're looking at that beautiful pastured egg, and we're wondering why the government wants to confine it and turn it into that industrial egg. And so, Kristen Alexander, you're 21 years old. You're starting your own poultry business, and you're looking at these government regulations. And what do you think of the government's efforts to, confine you?
Well, I mean, we'll do what they say, but for now, we'll do what the consumers want. We'll do what's best for the chickens. When my brother and I and the rest of my siblings started these chickens, we wanted the best food possible. Like I said, it was started by us kids, and the name we chose for the eggs is Alexander Kids Eggs, and that's our Facebook page, and that's what they sell in Whole Foods in California here. What the government wants is that we'll comply to it, but we'll argue it until they make us do it. We truly believe that these are the healthiest eggs in the world, that chickens exposed to the outdoors, they grow up with those antibodies. Just as farm kids grow up with antibodies to the manure, the E. coli in the manure. I mean, it's everywhere here on the farm, and it's just it's the way God built us. It's the way God built animals. It's just how it is. And even putting a net over won't solve the issues of waterfowl. I mean, of wild birds coming over, and I mean, you can't protect them completely because the feces will fall through the net. And isn't that what we're afraid of anyway? So
then the only way... Well, who? Let me ask you this, Christian. Who do you think the government is trying to protect?
Yeah, I like the point you said earlier of are we trying to protect the organic farmers, the consumers, or those... Or the big confinement places, like you said. So I think I'd agree with you on that.
I was asking a question. Do you think that the government is trying to protect consumers by issuing this directive?
I think they're implying that, but really the government is ill-prepared or ill-instructed and has kind of the wrong people telling them or advocates and lobbyists. And they're really protecting those large farms, the confinement operations.
Stephanie, do you think the government is trying to protect consumers?
No, I don't. I don't. I think it would be great if they found a way for more opportunity for farms like us to protect us, to protect the farm, the small farm, the chickens out on pasture, and make it more, allow for more opportunity. There are more farms like us that the consumer can be healthy in the end.
Well, Mark Castle, you're the policy wonk here. Do you think the government is trying to protect consumers?
Well, I mildly disagree with my colleagues on this call. I think within the narrow point of reference that they hold, that's the excuse for what they're doing. They're not saying, let's go out and promulgate rules that will force these folks out of business. You know, if you talk to a road builder, they're going to be much more concerned with how fast you can make the speed on the road, how straight, how flat. If you have to tear down old growth forest or filled in wetlands, they're not looking at the big picture. And organic farmers are looking not just at the marketing, not just at the safety, and it's of paramount importance that we all produce safe food, whether it's conventional and organic. But we look at farming and food production in a holistic manner. So we want to not just produce sterile food, but nutritious food and flavorful food. And your experience with the school kids says a lot, Michael, because you can see the difference in the eggs. That dark, beautiful yolk doesn't come out of a CAFO. It comes off of a real farm.
So, okay, then the question we come back to for our last segment is, for whom does government want to make eggs safe? If not for consumers, if not for organic farmers, then who? Do stay tuned. We will be right back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host. We have Stephanie and Christian Alexandre, Eco Dairy Farms up in Eureka. Mark Castle, co-founder, Cornucopia Institute. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Folks, today we've been talking about eggs and your government's efforts to make eggs safe by forcing free-ranging chickens, chickens who are living on pasture, to be confined somehow to prevent them from having access to Mother Nature. Now, we're trying to figure out just exactly why government is trying to confine chickens that are raised on pasture. If you've ever seen chickens raised on pasture, you know that they're pretty happy chickens and for the most part, very healthy chickens. And so there are chickens in confinement facilities that are not healthy. And so the government is designing rules for those chickens who are not healthy, but that those rules will also apply to the healthy chickens and make it nearly impossible for them to be processed and grown. And today we've got, I think we have you back. Stephanie and Christian, are you there? There we got you. Are you back?
Yes, we are.
Okay,
we
good. Are. Had a little minor technical difficulty. So a while ago, I received a phone call from an attorney in a nearby town, and he said, did you see the letter? And I said, what letter? And he said, the letter from XXX, which is a large grower shipper organization. And I said, no, I didn't see the letter. What did it say? And he said, the letter said, if local food is taking a bite out of your profits, join me in Washington, D.C. Now, what do you think they meant by join them in Washington, D.C.?
I'm not really sure, other than we all got to rally and go to Washington, D.C., write letters and make our voices heard.
Well, they are certainly in Washington, D.C., protecting their industry. And I guess, do you think that the rules that they are making to protect essentially those large confined animal operation, feeding operations, those CAFOs, do you think that the rules that they are making to protect them are also rules that will put small businesses like you out of business?
It could, yes.
What do you think, Christian?
It's hard to say, though, because, I mean, farming is what all countries are founded on. It's the basis of countries. It's the basis of the West. It's farming. And so it kind of is a dying industry, the small farming aspect of it. Instead of 80% of the population living on farms, it is now 2%.
Well, I guess we lost them there. We tried. Well, folks, that's the question that we have on the table today, is who exactly is the government trying to protect by promulgating rules for chickens that will prevent chickens from being able to range free on pasture like chickens have always ranged throughout the millenniums of their existence on Earth. The government wants them to be confined inside facilities. And there you go. So that is the subject on the table today. And the question, you can answer it by going to who you think the government is trying to protect by going to metrofarm.com. And there's a forum there that you can log on your impression, and we'll collect them and see what the consensus is. But thank you all for tuning in, and thank Mark and Stephanie and Christian and all of you. Remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.